Well, I am so sorry that our elevator isn't operative today because Bob Hardman and I spoke many months ago about having him dressed as Jesus coming up in the new elevator. That would be less noisy, so we're going to have to do that next ascension. We're going to have to do that. This is a really interesting feast, and I don't know about you, but the imagery can be kind of strange. I think of Star Trek or Jesus doing the space shuttle launch with smoke billowing out of his feet. And it's easy to get caught up in all of that and to not go deeper and say, what does this feast possibly mean to us today? And just as an aside, this ascension window was given in honor of the founding rector of this church, the Reverend Dr. Edgar Haupt, by his family. So that's right back up there, this visual. In some churches, there's some churches in England, and you can go into Google Images and see the stained glass window picturing the ascension will have all the disciples looking up, and there are just 2 feet sticking out from a cloud. I kid you not. I would want my money back on that window, but it's at least in a couple different churches in England. After his resurrection, Jesus appeared, as you heard, to his followers for 40 days, and he spoke about the kingdom of God. Jesus told his disciples to wait in Jerusalem until they receive the Holy Spirit, and we'll hear about that next week on Pentecost. But even then, after Jesus had been with many of them for a little over 3 years, they still didn't get it. They asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? Jesus' followers were still wedded to the expectation that he would be a warrior like Messiah or Savior who would restore Israel's land, nation, and honor. They still understood God as their tribal God rather than the God of all people. In response, Jesus is clear that he is not talking about a static, narrow understanding of the kingdom, but an expanded notion of the kingdom that encompasses the entire world and all people. Through his ascension, Jesus will receive power and authority from God, and he intends to share it with his followers. This power and authority is not to be used for selfish gain. It is to be used to build a trustworthy world. Through the ascension, Jesus becomes the cosmic Christ who reigns over all creation and the ruler who, through the presence and power of the Holy Spirit, equips his followers to participate in God's mission to establish God's kingdom on earth. This mission, offering God's healing, hospitality, reconciliation, new beginnings, hope, and possibility to all people, is huge. In order to be God's witnesses, Jesus' followers need to grow up spiritually and to engage in the daily practices that will help them live in the realm of trust rather than being defeated by the powers that resist or actively work against God's love and God's vision for human flourishing. In life, there are many experiences that feel simultaneously like endings and new beginnings. Think about graduating from high school or college and leaving your family's home, and that's a huge deal also for the family who is behind in the home. I also think about going through the death of a friend or family member, and we've had a lot of members of our community lose family members recently. These events bring anxiety, grief, and uncertainty. We take on new responsibilities. When a parent or grandparent dies, Some of us find ourselves becoming our family's new matriarch or patriarch, stepping into the void left by our beloved elder. At times like these, it can seem like every aspect of our lives is changing. We wonder, who am I? What do I need to do? And who do I need to be? How can I honor my family? How can I honor my deceased loved one? What's most important in life? While difficult, these occasions provide opportunities for us to grow in faith and in maturity. Jesus' departure was one of those times when there was both an ending and a new beginning. I imagine that the disciples experienced anxiety and grief when they learned that he would leave them. When Jesus was with the disciples, he announced and embodied the reign of God. When they spoke with him or saw him relate to others, they saw another way to live. They began to see new possibilities for human relationships. Jesus profoundly changed the disciples' lives, and then he left them. When he left, his disciples had the opportunity to grow in faith and maturity. The challenge of this story is to assume that Jesus' ascension means that God is no longer present with us. God left at the ascension, and it's all up to us to clean up this broken world. That's not true at all. God is now present with us through the Holy Spirit. And again, the story of the Holy Spirit's descent on Jesus' followers will be told next week. While the Holy Spirit is not a physical person, she is a presence that can be felt, experienced, and discerned by individuals and in community. The Holy Spirit is a personal and public power that works between and among us. What are the spiritual practices that enable us, Jesus' followers and witnesses, to live in the realm of trust? And what practices will sustain us as we seek to participate in God's work to build a trustworthy world? What daily or weekly practices will keep us focused on and committed to God's vision for life, as made explicit in the baptismal covenant that we said together a few weeks ago, as we serve as Christ's ambassadors in our neighborhoods, workplaces, and the places we volunteer? What practices will help us know where God is calling us to focus our gifts, our time, our energy? What will sustain us as we seek to serve Christ in all people and to love our neighbor as ourselves? What will give us courage as we speak out and act to protect the dignity of every human being? Daily spiritual practices that help us connect with God, grow in faith, and live in the realm of trust include prayer, the reading of Scripture, service, reflection, giving others our full time and attention, journaling, living in the moment, being attentive to God's movement in our midst, sharing what we have with those in need, the Eucharist, and gathering with others to think out loud about what God is up to in our lives and world. It's also important for us to share stories of God's goodness and presence, encourage each other, and to laugh. By virtue of Jesus' ascension to God and the gift of the Holy Spirit, we are God's witnesses in St. Paul, Minneapolis, Little Canada, Arden Hills, Shoreview, Circle Pines, Blaine, Woodbury, and Eagan. God has called all of us to participate in God's mission of creating a trustworthy world in which God is known and honored, and all people live in respectful relationships with each other and the earth. The God who conquered death will bring God's kingdom to fruition one day. In the meantime, we have glimpses of the kingdom. We have a taste of it. We have experiences of the kingdom. And we are called to live in a posture of trust as we witness to God in ordinary and sometimes extraordinary encounters in our daily lives. Jesus' ascension gave him power and authority over all nations and rulers and enabled him to rule over creation more fully. It also enabled his followers to grow up and share more fully in the work of building a trustworthy world. In the silence that follows, I want to invite you to engage in the spiritual practice that many of us have been engaging in this season of Easter. I want you to just close your eyes and spend some time going back over the events of the last 24 hours. Call to mind two or three things from these 24 hours for which you would like to thank God. Call to mind two or three things from the last 24 hours which caused you concern, anxiety, or worry, and offer them to God. Call to mind one or more times in which you acted or spoke in a way that marred God's image in you. See if you can identify one point during the last 24 hours where God touched your life.